Psalm 4, starting from verse 1. For the director of music, with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin when you are on your beds. Search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous, and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Phil Snelling, Associate Pastor here, and it's a privilege and joy to be able to preach to you from God's Word today on that beautiful Psalm, Psalm 4. Oh, do you want me to test? Oh yeah, it's all good. Okay, fantastic. Have you ever had a relationship breakdown? Now, I know that's a bit of a sad note to start on, but what I'm talking about is not necessarily a romantic relationship, but a friendship, perhaps. Maybe it starts because of a misunderstanding, miscommunication. You get upset, they get upset, there's hurt feelings, words exchanged, maybe a bit of anger, maybe resentment, distance. A few years ago, a friendship of mine broke down, and I'll kind of talk about it in general without giving specifics. We were good mates for a long time, but due to several factors, including a misunderstanding and an inability to trust, it led to this tension in this relationship with my friend. And when you have a breakdown in a relationship, it begins to burn, eat up inside you, doesn't it? I'm a peacemaker at heart. I don't like conflict. I avoid it. And so when I have a relationship like this breakdown, I want to fix it. I want to go in and do something about it. However, in this case, just like any relationship, it's out of your hands, isn't it? You can control how you feel and how you act, but ultimately it's about two people. The other person and how they respond and how they act as well comes into it. But for me, with this relationship in trouble, I was in anguish. I was distraught. I was trying to think about how I could fix this relationship because I wanted to keep it to continue, but I felt feelings of loss and grief and hurt and pain. I don't know if you can relate to something like that. Even as I mentioned a broken relationship, maybe something immediately came to mind. Something in the past, something current perhaps. You see, we all face these troubles in life. And I'll use this broad term, troubles, to talk about these situations we can't fix. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a problem outside of our control. Maybe it's even something that's out of our hands and we can't do anything about it. And so it weighs on us. It weighs on our hearts. And we feel those waves of emotions that are associated with that. Pain, hurt, frustration, maybe even anger and more. The question is, what can we do about these feelings when we're distressed with troubles? What can we do when we have these troubles, problems in life that we can't deal with? What do you do? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, because that's where this beautiful book, the book of Psalms, comes in. And as Pastor Ed opened reading from a couple of Psalms, we started a series looking at a collection, a handful of different Psalms. We started last week and we're going to continue the next few weeks on this series about waiting for the Lord. And we'll find help and comfort for our problems and troubles. So as we begin, let me pray and join with me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you and share with you our troubles. As we just heard from the psalm being read, this is a beautiful psalm which helps us to express ourselves. But more than that, it helps point us to you, the one who can deal with our troubles, and instead do something about it in ways that we can't. So help us today as we listen to your words. Help me to speak helpfully and clearly, and help everyone here to be able to take away something that they can live out, a word from you that they can put in place in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms, as Ed said before, they're songs. They're poems. They're prayers. Psalms are beautiful. We might not have the music, but we do have the words, the lyrics. And they're beautiful because they express heartfelt feelings and emotions about what's going on in the lives of the people who wrote them. They're models for us on how to pray. They teach us how to talk with God about how we're feeling, about expressing our needs, or maybe even praising Him, giving Him thanks for what He's done. The Psalms provide guidance for our emotions as well. We might not think of the Bible as very emotional. Maybe when we read the stories, we might think, oh, that's them getting emotional. But the Psalms kind of experience a whole range of emotions, from fear and anger, from sorrow, from happiness to joy and praise. And they're very genuine and heartfelt. And so they model for us how we should feel, how we should express these emotions and feelings that we're going through. The Psalms are a wonderful blessing to us, but we often think, well, how do we approach them? Aren't they a book in the Old Testament? Aren't they like 150? Are they kind of randomly put? No, they've been put together carefully, and as we'll see, they're put together in a way that helps us. So how should we read them today? Well, I want to suggest that when we read the Psalms, we first read them in light of who wrote them. So the psalm that we're looking at today was written by David, King David. In fact, he wrote most of these psalms. Most of the psalms are attributed, given to him. And so he is the original author. God is the author overseeing everything. But David was the one who expressed himself. He was the one who was feeling there was a situation that happened. But then there's beyond that, these psalms are pointing forward to another king. David was considered the anointed one, the one blessed with oil to represent his people. But we have for us the universal king, the king of kings, Jesus Christ. Christ means Messiah. He is the promised anointed king. And so the Psalms are Jesus' prayer book. The Psalms, Jesus would have memorized maybe even the whole Psalms. At the very least, most of the Psalms he would have known off by heart. That's why they're on his lips, even when he dies. But there's another level for us. This is where we fit in. Because of Jesus, those of us in Christ, we have Jesus' Spirit. And because of that, we receive the same blessing. So when David writes these Psalms, Jesus is the one that can take them on. And then for us in Christ, we can also take them on. And I just want to kind of tease that apart and share with us, because that's helpful to us. Because on one hand, we can take and we can read and we apply them straight to us. But at the same time, we need to also think about who wrote it originally and the situation, how that plays out. And so that's what we're going to do today. But how does Psalm 4 start? Where does it fit in? I mentioned about the Psalms coming together. Well, last week, Pastor Dylan introduced to us Psalm 1, the very first Psalm, and he introduced this person, the happy person, the blessed person. who are righteous. They're righteous because they're like a tree planted next to a water supply. They are righteous because they meditate on God's words. And so we're introduced to this righteous one and also wicked as well. See, in Psalm 1, it talks about the righteous one, the one who meditates on God's law. If you've got your Bibles open, you'll see that Psalm 2 follows after Psalm 1, of course. But it takes us from trees and streams to the entire world. The nations are rising up against God, but he's laughing at them because they can't do anything. They're in his hands. And against this opposition rising up, God has anointed his own king, the anointed one, who will rule over all nations, the whole world, a true world ruler appointed by God. This is the Son of God. This is the anointed one, the king. And so you begin to see, right, Psalm 1 talking about the righteous one, Psalm 2 talking about the anointed one, it's talking about rulership, it's talking about God's righteous king, who obeys God's word, he meditates on it, he takes it to heart, and will rule over the world. Now, the Psalms introduce us that way because, like I shared with you, those levels of how we read the Psalms, you begin to see how it points to King David, to Jesus, and then us in a special way. That's how the Psalms open. The Psalms are a book about Jesus, ultimately, but they're about God's righteous ones. And so with that, we get Psalm 3 and Psalm 4. We move to King David. He is the anointed one of Israel. And both Psalms are Psalms that David prayed, asking for God's help. They're what you might call lament Psalms. He's crying out for God to step in. That's what lament. Lament is a type of psalm. It's a pattern, a structured way of asking God for help. It gives us a pattern to help shape our prayers. We ask God, we cry out, and then we present our needs, and then we can see how God will answer them based on who God is and his character. So let's look at Psalm 4. Psalm 4. Now, as we begin, I want to point out, if you do have a Bible in front of you, there is this kind of special subscription, superscription above. And Denali read it out for us, for the director of music with stringed instruments, a Psalm of David. That is scripture. That is God's word. It's in the original Hebrew. In fact, that is actually verse 1 in Hebrew. And if you've got a Bible with footnotes, it'll tell you just that. You see, so we should read them because they help us to understand. They give us context. Not all the Psalms have them. But I want to say, don't get confused with, in the New Testament, that there are little headings popping up all the way. The NIV, which we often use, often uses them. Those are not scripture. They have been added, like the chapters and verses. They've been added to help us read the Bible and orientate. But they're not scripture. Okay? So I just want to be clear on that, because in the Psalms especially, it's very helpful to read these little bits of information. Because in this one, first of all, it says, for the director of music. Now, what's that? Well, it was the musical song leader. These psalms were often, some were sung privately, but many of them were sung together, like we've just sung songs. But when people assembled in the Old Testament, they assembled at the temple. They assembled for special reasons. And when they did, they sung praises to God. And so this director of music led the music in the tabernacle, in the temple. This person led God's people in singing a psalm. So what does that mean? Well, it means that this psalm, David might have wrote it, but he gave it over into the songbook for people, everyone to sing it. So that means David's written this intended for all people to take this, God's people to pray it, to use it. But notice also it's a psalm of David. Of David, he's the author. He wrote it. Remember I said the different levels of application? And so he has specific reasons for writing this, which we might begin to kind of see, well, what's that about? But we see straight away, as I said before, he's asking for God's help. This is the king of Israel, and even he needs God's help. Give me relief from my distress, have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Troubles. I open talking about troubles that we face. King David had troubles. We all have troubles. Something that comes up that we can't do anything about. And so this is the heart of what I want to say today. And what I'm going to do is this, like a memory verse, we're all going to say it together. And I'm going to get everyone to stand up and we're going to do some actions to this. Okay, so everyone stand up. Only this one time, so it's okay. So we're going to talk about handing our troubles over to God. So you put your hands outstretched. We're handing our troubles. We're handing them to God. God. And it's God who brings us, so use your thumbs, brings us. He brings us what? Joy and peace. You get that? Pretty simple, right? So let's do it again. We hand our troubles to God who brings us joy and peace. Fantastic. Everyone have a seat. Hopefully you'll be able to remember it. This is the summary of what we're going to look at today. And this is what this psalm is all about. You see, what was the problem that was facing King David? What was he facing? What was the problem? Well, we don't actually know. In the previous psalm, Psalm 3, there is a title that says, when David fled from his son Absalom, referring to this uprising, this revolution by his son of all people. And that was a situation in Psalm 3. And because Psalm 3 and Psalm 4, if you read them both together, they're linked with different words. Maybe they're the same situation. But we don't actually get that title in Psalm 4, so it's only a question. However, looking in the psalm itself, maybe there was other reasons for the troubles. Right at the end, David says, fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. So it seems like that hasn't happened. Maybe the nation was in a trouble of drought. Maybe their crops were failing. Very common for an agricultural society. Maybe there was a natural disaster. And because of that, the people were raising questions about David's leadership. The leaders were questioning, is he fit to lead us? Now, we don't know exactly, that's all inferred, but I think that's also part of how David is writing here. He knows his troubles, but he's writing in a way that we can pray this psalm as well, and we can think about our troubles when we pray. So how does he respond? And this is what we looked at, that handing our troubles to God brings us joy and peace. That's what this psalm is all about. But essentially, David is pointing to God, and he's reminding the readers, the people that are rising up, and himself of God's spiritual wisdom. How to hand your troubles over to God? How does, when these things come up, how do you actually go about it? Well, he kind of gives us four different ways that we can do this. But do you enjoy a good conversation with someone? Shifting gears a little, talking about a great conversation. There are people that I catch up with regularly for a cup of coffee and for a chat. Some people open up when they chat and they can talk, and it's great to be in their company. Other people are a bit more reticent, a bit more closed, a bit more private. They don't want to share too much in their lives. But others share openly and deeply and freely. And that's refreshing, isn't it? When someone's open and honest and you're able to get into a really good conversation. When people share about what's happening in their lives, it creates relationship. It builds friendship. And so I want to say, think of a psalm a bit like a conversation, a good conversation, a deep, open conversation with God. In this psalm, it is a conversation between David and God. And the amazing thing is we get to hear both sides of this conversation. And so in Psalm 4, David opens up. He gets personal with God and he shares what's happening deeply, his feelings. Is that something that you do with God? Are you able to open up and share deeply with what's going on in your heart? This psalm gives us a model for doing just that. But it also gives us some words and phrases. The psalms are a bit like that. They can help us to open up with God. And so what is this spiritual wisdom that David gives us to deepen our relationship? Well, first, verse 3, he says, "Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him." David's talking about himself here. He's talking about conversing with God, having this conversation with God. He is saying that he has a special relationship with God. He is God's faithful servant, his loyal servant. And on one hand, he is talking as king. But on the other hand, he's just talking about as an Israelite, someone who is part of God's people. He uses the word set apart, which reminds us of Exodus and the Israelites being set apart, distinct from the Egyptians during those disasters that God brought about. But it speaks about this special identity as belonging to God's people, about having this relationship with God that you can talk to him and speak with him at any moment. Kind of like a parent and a child or a grandparent and a child. You can share and talk freely and openly. You should ask for help. Talk about what's on your heart and mind. David expresses this dependency on God in prayer. He had a special relationship with God, just as we do too. Jesus had a special relationship with God. Jesus spoke to God as his heavenly Father. This gives us ways to talk to God. But David goes on to talk about, he talks about trembling and not sinning. When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent, he says in verse 4. Now, as we'll see, that could be trembling as in anger, or could be just to do with fear. Fear. Maybe David's talking about the people being afraid of the situation. Maybe they're angry with David or God for what's going on. But David's saying, well, get rid of that anger. Don't sin. And do so in your heart. Do so consciously, deliberately. And do it at a time that's quiet, such as on your beds. Do it quietly and silently before God. Paul picks up this exact verse, but he quotes from the Greek translation. He says, "In your anger, do not sin," and goes on to say, "Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry." Paul's talking about a similar way of speaking about anger, talking about releasing it to before the sun goes down, ultimately before nighttime, or as David says, when you're on your bed, release that anger. Give it up to God. I don't know if you have a bedtime routine, maybe turning off devices, phones, maybe picking up the Bible, reading a devotional, maybe nighttime prayers. It's a good time to end off the day. Maybe even you might say the Lord's Prayer. At various times in my life, I've had different patterns, different habits, routines of praying as I go to bed at night. It was a way of processing my thoughts and giving them to God. And this is one of the ones that I stuck on for quite some time, and it might help you. First of all, I like to review. I play back in my mind the day. What happened? The good, the bad, anything that was troubling or bad, something that I need to say sorry for, repent of. I did that. I talked to God and said sorry to him. Maybe there were some highlights in my day that brought joy to me. I thank God for them. I praise him. That's what I mean by reviewing the day, walking through the day in my mind as I laying on bed. Secondly, I like to then release. I give to God any worries or cares, any troubles I might have. I, like in this psalm, I offer them to God. I ask also, is there anything he wants me to do, anything he wants to tell me? And just in the quietness of my heart, I just wait and listen to see if there's something that he wants me to respond in some way. And then thirdly, I look forward to the new day. I ask God to give me good sleep now. I've laid down all my concerns. I've given them to him. I've processed the day, and I look forward to the new day. and ask him for good rest and sleep. Now, I don't know if you've ever done something like that. It's been a common practice for Christians over thousands of years to do different sorts of prayers like that. But what David's here, maybe he's saying something like this, but maybe not. Maybe he's just saying, cultivate an attitude of humility. Have a process of repenting, of giving your cares to God and restoring relationship with him on a regular basis. But he goes on to give a third way in which we can gain wisdom with God. In verse 5 he says, offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. This was essentially, the Israelites were commanded by God to give sacrifices at the right time. At different times of the year, or when they'd sinned, or when they were thankful to God, when the crops were abundant, the first fruits, they gave a sacrifice. They went to the tabernacle, they went to the priests in the temple, and they made the sacrifices. And this is what was required of someone who is right with God, a righteous person in the Old Testament. And that's what David's pointing to here. In obedience, we do this. In trust, in faithful dependence on God, we wait on him. We wait for his provision. We're reliant on him each and every day. My mind goes to Paul in the New Testament when he writes about, as Christians, as believers, our lives are living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. All that we do is to trust and obey in God. It's kind of like walking. Unless you're in chronic pain and you struggle or maybe have arthritis or knee problems, walking comes naturally and easy. We don't even think about it. Our mind just walks our feet. We don't think about gravity pressing in on us. We don't think about the earth spinning or anything like that. That's overcomplicating it. We just walk, don't we? We walk when we get up out of bed and we walk to the bathroom. We walk when we go into the kitchen. We walk when we're going to work. We walk when we... Walk is something natural. Walk is a good image for living a life of worship. It's about our constant daily things we do. Everything we say, everything we do is worship of God. Just being here is trusting and obeying. It's natural for Christians to do this. And so that's what David's pointing to. He's pointing to trust and obey as a natural pattern of life. And finally, in verse 6, David says, many, Lord, asking, who will bring us prosperity? Literally, who will bring us good? And David says, let the light of your face, Lord, shine on us. David is saying, look expectantly to God for goodness. Now, that light of your face shine on us, that might be vaguely familiar to you. God gave the priests, Aaron and his sons, this wonderful blessing in Numbers 6. It's called the priestly or Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. You can see David's kind of paraphrased it here. Because God is the source of all that is good. God is good. And so we look to him for our daily needs. Jesus in Matthew 7 gives this image of knocking on a door, of asking and receiving. And then he continues to go on to say, if you've got a son, a child that asks for bread, do you give them a stone? No, you give them a good gift, don't you? You give them bread. And so when you ask God, your heavenly Father, he will give you good gifts to those who ask. Just like David tells us, look to God expectantly, then Jesus also says, look to God expectantly for his provision, his goodness. And so here are four ways that David tells us about how we are to give our troubles to God and instead to receive these blessings. Whether it's conversing with God open and deeply, a process of reflection, of cultivating humility, of a whole life of worship, and then asking and receiving for God's goodness. This is all about handing our troubles to God, who brings us joy and peace. That's what this is all about. This is what's happening. Because God gives joy. He says, fill my heart with joy. That's what he said. Separate from your circumstances, it doesn't matter what's happening. David's praying this as a completed, something that will happen. He's praying expectantly, knowing that God will answer. With grain and new wine will abound. It's joy that's overflowing like a fountain. It just keeps coming. Joy is relying and living in God's character, who God is, not in your own needs and wants and circumstances, but from God's favor and provision. And then peace. This final verse is beautiful, isn't it? In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. This peace comes because of our special identity as God's people, doesn't it? David, Jesus, they model for us rightly how to think about God's people. And sleep is this beautiful image, isn't it? It's this image of contentment. No worries, no concerns. We can rest safe. We're vulnerable, but in God's hands we're protected. This sleeping mother with the child on their lap is a beautiful image. Maybe it speaks to you. Another image about peace I like to have is this one of, imagine a cliff top. And you see these birds in the picture, gulls flying about the cliff top. And they're doing that because they've got nest on the side of the cliff. And I like to picture peace as those little chicks in the nest, safe and secure at peace, even though there might be danger, even though there's troubles out there. You see, that's for us. David's praying this knowing that these troubles are there, they're happening. But he's praying knowing that God gives him security, God gives him peace. God listens to us because, as he says, you are there with me. He's praying because he knows God can do something about it. He prays because he has this relationship with him. God is there giving us peace, giving us rest. And immediately you think about Jesus. You think about story after story where Jesus is in a similar situation where there's joy. Joy over people responding to God. Joy over people being healed. Joy over friends with meals and friendship. But Jesus and peace. The storms of life. And Jesus says, be still. And there's peace. Peace despite opposition, questions, leaders. And peace was the final thing he gave his friends on the night before he died. You see, in Christ, we have joy and peace. His Spirit is within us. We receive all this when we give our troubles to God. We experience his favor, his face shining upon us. When we hand our troubles to God, he brings us joy and peace. That's what this psalm is all about. Is it something that you can put in place in your life this week, this month? Is it something that you can walk away and do? For me, that's what I did with my friend. I did a lot of what I just shared with you. I kept praying for myself, kept praying for my friend. I kept reaching out and trying to restore the relationship, but ultimately I knew it was in God's hands. And so I prayed to him and praise God. Now I have a friendship again with that friend. It's restored. We're back in relationship once again. And so my final words are from the Apostle Paul, and this is what I'll end with, where Paul in some ways brings to mind this psalm and says these beautiful words. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. You see, the Lord is near. And so do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful psalm that we can learn from, that we can hand our troubles over to you, God, and that when we do so, You give us peace. You give us joy. Thank you so much for this beautiful picture. Help us now to walk out of here with hearts that are filled with gratefulness to what you have done. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.